This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
We have just an amazing treat for you today on this 4th of July weekend. How fun. You know, it's kind of an independence thing. And so we've got sort of a patriotic slash independence. I don't know, but there's something really special that's going to happen on today's show. So I'm really, really glad that you tuned in and you get to share in this. We have with us Charity Martin, who is the author of His Life for Mine, A Missionary Journey. And the story behind this is just kind of mind-blowing just to begin with. My wife and I were on the pastor's cruise here a few weeks ago. And we sat down with Charity's father, Dan Balsam, who's the pastor of, is it?
Triad Church.
Triad Church. Yeah, I almost said Trinity. I'm glad I said Triad. Yeah. And he began to tell us this story, and then unbeknownst to me that I'd forgotten that this other man sitting at the table with us had been on one of my shows before, and that before this book was even out, he kind of shared the punchline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now here we've kind of come full circle back to this story, which in its own way sounds tragic, but Charity, why don't I let you just kind of describe what happened?
Oh, okay. My sister, Joy, was a missionary. She started doing missions work when she was about 14, which as a mother of a couple of teenage missionaries myself, I looking back, I can see how terrifying that must have been for my parents to let her go and do missions work as a small person. You still want to protect them when they're that age. There's so much they don't know about the world. But she said, I'm going to be a world changer. And so she did. She went on mission trips starting at age 14, and she visited 20 countries in her life doing missions work. She just bounced around. Sometimes we didn't even know what country she was in, just what part of the world she was in. And occasionally we would hear from her, I'm here now. And we're like, okay, good. She's good. And then she was 26, and she was headed to Bangladesh for a 2-year assignment with the organization that she was with at a school and a children's, like a dormitory type thing there. She had been there once before and decided to go there long term. It would be her longest term assignment. She mostly would go for short periods of time, but this was a long term assignment. And she had 6 months before that started. And so she went to Malaysia in that time to work at an orphanage there until they were ready for her in Bangladesh. And that she had been there not very long, 10 days maybe, and she wasn't feeling well and got up from dinner and went to the bathroom, and they found her collapsed in the bathroom and rushed her to the hospital in Kuala Lumpur, which is a great hospital and had all modern technology. And the first thing that they told us, and it was so frustrating because we were hearing everything 12 hours time delayed, because so it would be the middle of the night when the doctors were actually working with her, then we wouldn't hear stuff all day long. We'd wait and hear nothing because it was the middle of the night over there. But they said, there's an abnormality in her brain. We don't exactly know what's going on. For a while, she was awake and communicating with the pastor and his wife that were there. And then she started to get really restless. They had to sedate her. We were getting all this information like third hand. It was very confusing. That was on a Sunday. We got home from church and they had called and said this had happened. And so we were just kind of like, well, we'll just wait and see what happens. They're saying she's okay. And then she became unconscious and they weren't able to figure it out. They ended up discovering she had an AVM. I don't know the exact medical term for that, but basically a malformation in her brain that had ruptured and was bleeding into her brain. So they did emergency brain surgery to evacuate that bleeding. And while she was in recovery, she had a massive brainstem hemorrhage and died within 12 hours. So Sunday was the day she collapsed, and Wednesday she passed away. Nobody was able to get there in time. I mean, it takes 20 something hours to get from here to Malaysia, and mom's passport was expired, so dad decided to wait on her to get it, and they got it rushed, you know, from wherever they got it rushed, but they didn't have it in time. So they were scheduled to leave Wednesday morning to go be with her while she was in the hospital, but she died before they even left. So they didn't end up going.
So, wow, you can see the basis of this book, His Life for Mine, A Missionary's Journey by Charity Martin. And so we've got that coming up for today. But on the completely different end of the spectrum, we have Karen. I'm going to try your last name, Karen. Javits? Javits?
Yes, Javits.
Javits. I got it. All right. Well, Karen, welcome. And Karen is a composer, a lyricist, an author, and a comedian, which always fits in well with me. And her latest song is Why Don't You Run for President? Welcome, Karen.
Well, hi, Robbie. That's funny. I've never been introduced as a comedian. That's pretty funny.
Well, as I listened to your song, I couldn't help but notice that there's some comedy involved. And
yes, there is.
Also, you know, I should say one of the really, really cool things you did was that you did a musical based on the life of Princess Diana. You composed it.
Yes, I composed all the songs. I just loved her, as millions of people did. And I was devastated when she died. So I just sat at the piano composing all these songs about her, not realizing that I would put them into a musical later. But she, you know, touched everybody's heart. And I wrote a musical about her, co-wrote the book, and it's been in cities in the country, and a few months ago it was in New York City, which was so amazing. We were really appreciative of that.
I mean, what a cool thing that God has got you in such a time as this, in such a place as this, for all the different things that you've been involved in. You know, when I look through all, in another thing that you did, in fact, the biggest video that I think you've got is the one on the lady that had 14 kids. You wrote a song about having 14 kids.
The Octomom, yes. she had 8 kids at one time. So, yes, I did a song about that. And I was really surprised at all the hits that got. Go ahead, Robbie.
No. I mean, this is where you can see the comedy, because apparently the Octomom already had 6 kids.
Yes, she did.
And so she had these new 8 coming home with her. And so the Octomom, which, by the way, you know, if you go to kingdompursuits.com, you can see her website where all this stuff is. But this song is from the point of view of one of those babies.
Of the baby. Yeah, I know it. In the nursery with 7 siblings, you know. It's really funny.
It really is. So, in honor of Karen, our bump music today will be one of 2 things. It will either be her, you know, Why Don't You Run for President song, which we'll play here in a minute. And the other one being that she wrote, which is very cool. And you may be wondering, Robbie, why aren't you getting to your riddle? I'm going to get to my riddle. It was a little, I couldn't really bring myself to do my riddle and tell my jokes in light of the first segment here, because of what all we talked about. So I'm going to do that in the second segment.
Okay.
But her other thing that Karen has done is she has written a happy anniversary song that it is our hope and her hope that will be as popular as Happy Birthday to You, because an anniversary is a huge deal, isn't it, Karen?
Absolutely. I was going to sing it to you if you would tell me your wife's name and how many years you've been married.
We have been married 31.
31. And what's her first name?
Her name is Tammy. She's actually sitting right in front of me.
Oh, did you say it was Tammy?
Yes, her name is Tammy. Yes, go ahead and sing it.
Can I sing it to you? Okay.
Oh, please.
Here it goes. Happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Robbie and Tammy, we're so happy to celebrate your 31st anniversary. Bum.
There you go.
That is awesome.
And so Tammy is really feeling it right now. When we come back, we're going to hear more of Charity's story about her sister and her own life and how God got her writing this book. We're going to hear how Karen started on her journey. We're going to hear some great comedy, and my riddle is coming at you, and it may be the most difficult riddle I have ever riddled. So I'm naming myself the Riddler today. that I have a riddle worth riddling that you will have a chance to riddle when we come back. Stay tuned.
Whether it is Amy Klobuchar, Cory Booker, or Joe Biden, Michael Bennett, Julian Castro, Pete Buttigieg, Bill de Blasio, Tim Ryan, why don't you run for president? And don't forget Tulsi Gabbard, John Hickenlooper, John Delaney, Beto O'Rourke, Eric Swalwell, Bernie Sanders, or Elizabeth Warren, why don't you run for president? And then there's Steve Bullock, Mary Ann Williamson, and Andrew Yang, Wayne Messam, Jay Ensley, Kirsten Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, Mike Gravel, and Self Moulton. So far there are 3 governors, 9 U.S. senators, and 4 mayors, and 5 women running, 6 congressmen, and 1 entrepreneur, and 1 best-selling self-help author. Why don't you run for president? For president, it doesn't matter if we've never heard. Why don't you run for president? Run for president, you'll have your 15 minutes of fame in this game. Why don't you run for president? Run for president.
So there you have the musical stylings of Karen Yavich. I mean, how funny is that? I'm going to say it right yet. I just struggled. Anyway, so. You knew that my riddle was coming, so speaking of president. All right. You may not know this, but the president of the Golf Channel was actually chairman of the board. Sorry to all those people who love golf out there. And the president of the ladder manufacturer, well, he had to step down. That's a challenge. And this is my personal favorite. The saying of a former vice president is known as an algorithm.
Oh, that's cute.
Don't you think, very Keith, cute. An algorithm?
Uh-huh, very nice.
So here comes the riddle of riddles, of all my riddles. I can never remember riddling anything like I've riddled today. Oh, so in Karen's song, Why Not Run for President? She mentions that there are 3 governors, 9 senators, 4 mayors, 5 women, 6 congressmen, 1 entrepreneur, and I do love this, 1 best-selling self-help author. They're all running for president. But which?
I know it.
But which?
Why don't you run, Bobby?
But which presidential candidate? Here comes a riddle. Which presidential candidate is missing based on Proverbs 29:18? Which presidential candidate is missing based on Proverbs 29:18? And that candidate, that way that Robbie thinks, would be what kind of doctor? Okay, so think like me, and then think of Proverbs 29:18, and go, what kind of doctor might that candidate be? And he probably would win, too. I'm just saying, Karen, because that song is absolutely hilarious. And so,
oh, thanks, Bobby.
I'm wondering how you were inspired, you know, to.
Well, you know, politics is very funny. You know, the Democrats are funny and the Republicans are funny. So, I mean, all of a sudden, every day, there's more people running for president. I hadn't heard of half of them, you know.
I hadn't heard of a third of them.
Yeah, right. Especially the, you know, self-help author. She's a spiritual medium. I had heard of her because she's a medium, but how did she get to running for president? I mean, so why don't you run? Why don't I run? Why doesn't everybody run?
Absolutely great. And by the way, you can go to Christian Car Guide, excuse me, you can go to kingdompursuits.com. Let me get my website right here. kingdompursuits.com, and you can see Karen Job.
Yeah, like, I don't know what. It's Jaguar.
Yeah, that, there you go. Her videos there, her songs, and again, really quite a story that we're going to get to more in today's show. But getting back to Charity Martin and her book, His Life for Mine, we were talking during the break. My wife is joined us because she wanted the chance to meet Charity because we talked to her father. My mother-in-law, Nelda, is with us too. But we were talking about, you know, wow, that time that, like, was it really hard on your parents because they couldn't get there in time?
Right.
And then the situation with the body. Could you share some of that with the listeners? Because I think that's intense.
Right. Yeah, sure. So we weren't, because we weren't able to get there. And then when we began the process of trying to bring her body home, it was very expensive. I feel like I remember it was around $13,000, and that was just not, that just wasn't feasible. So she was cremated in Kuala Lumpur, and then the U.S. Embassy mailed her an urn with her remains in it home to us. So the closure was long in coming because of that, not seeing her body, not actually, I mean, you know that she's gone, but still she doesn't feel gone. I would wake up from dreams for probably 2 years that we had found out that she wasn't really dead, that that was just something that someone had made up, that she'd been taken prisoner, you know, just crazy things that your mind does when you're trying for something not to be real. But when her ashes arrived, we had a headstone made and we buried them at my sister's property, her remains there. We had a little family service, and it ended up being a blessing because now we are able to go there and plant flowers and pull weeds and remember her and talk about her. We built a stone wall. Some of our cousins came and helped do it. And it became like this therapeutic memory thing that we do now, that we have a plaque made that says the Joyful Garden. And so now looking back, I can see that as the mercy of the Lord, because you have to bury a body in a cemetery. You can't just bury it wherever you want to. And we would have been stuck visiting a cemetery, whereas now we can go and work together and be together. And so the way that the Lord is merciful, even in like the saddest, most horrible thing ever, it's overwhelming and amazing to see his mercy looking back in that situation.
So one day you feel the knock on your heart to tell this story.
Yes. Well, it was my dad's idea. And he's like, I think I'm going to write down some of Joy's story. And I was like, that's a great idea. And I want to read it when you've got some stuff written. And, you know, my daddy's a preacher, so he can tell a whole thing from start to finish in 25 minutes. And so he can. And he's a wonderful storyteller. But when he gave me what he wrote, I was like, this is like 4 pages. This is not a book. So I have all the words. Let me take a crack at it. So I've never been short of words since I was very small. So I talked to my husband about it, and he's like, hey, I have an idea. And kind of we batted it back and forth a little bit. And I was like, I'm just going to sit down and just see what comes out. And so, you know, I got 15, 20 pages written, and I printed it out and took it over to mom and dad's. They were moving into a new house, so they were painting. I was like, let me just read you what I wrote. And so I read it to them, and I was like, I can pitch it. If you want to write it, I will, hands off. This is just an idea and something that the Lord kind of gave my husband and I when we were chatting. And daddy said, won't you pitch it on paper and let's see what happens. So I was like, I will. So that's when I started writing. And then.
So what was the pitch?
Well, just the beginning starts at the end, actually, the beginning of the story. We started from the end and from a vision that my sister had had the day that she died, of an angel coming into her hospital room and saying, come with me and I want to show you something. And then a journey around the world and all the places that she had been. And so I wrote that, and then I went back and wrote a little bit of us as kids. And that's what I shared with mom and dad. And they're like, yeah, do it just like that. So It was a process, because I knew her at home, but I didn't know her as a missionary. So I had to read her journals and talk to her friends, and yeah.
So Karen, is all the things that you have written, which amazing stuff, because you're an author as well. Which one did you feel the Lord just really just hammering down on you?
Well, you know, when I hear Charity's story, it's so touching, and it breaks your heart. But and I think because Charity is talking about her, it reminds me of Princess Diana, because, you know, Joy was a missionary, and in a way, so was Princess Diana. And she was out to help, you know, the downtrodden. She had so much empathy and compassion. And I think that's, I got inspired by God to write about her, definitely. And once I even had a dream, because I was a little questionable as to should I do this or not, And Princess Diana came to me in a dream and said, yes, I want you to. So that helped me a lot. I figured that was something from God telling me that was okay. And I raised money. I haven't made any money off of her musical, so I've just raised money for charities from her musical.
But you know, it's interesting, so, as I was, you know, perusing your information there, you know, stalking you. Just kidding. That's what you do when you're a talk show host. You start looking at all this information,
right,
trying to figure out, you know, what interests you, and hopefully, you know, it'll interest your audience. So what kind of grabbed me was that the lady that sang the song from on YouTube from your Diana movie, you could tell that she was moved. I mean, the way she set it up, that this woman was like, this is my favorite Karen. Then she could say your last name, Java Hitch.
Oh, yeah. I know. You're talking about Aaron, right? I know it. Karen Sokoloff Javits. She even said my middle name was tight. That you don't need to hear that.
So I mean, and she was just like, and you could tell that you had touched her heart, and that's the thing about music.
Mm-hmm.
Is it touches people's heart, and that's the beautiful thing about that Diana musical, is that you could see where this person's heart has been enriched, clearly, by, you know, being able to share in the creative process of singing a song. You know, there's more to it than just obviously, you know, saying the words. To do it right, I'm supposing, as an artist, right, it becomes part of you, right?
Yeah, definitely. And when somebody sings it, oh my God, you just can't believe it, and the emotion that's coming from the singer.
I actually can, because I write Christian Car Guy Theater, and when I have actors play the roles and the right words I wrote, oh man.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Carol and Alan, we're so happy to celebrate your 40th anniversary.
There you have it. That is the anniversary song. You can begin to just, and you know, you can probably, you know, go on the website there and be able to hear it anytime, so you can get ready for the next anniversary that you go to celebrate.
That's right.
That's
You're right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Karen Javits?
Yeah. Like jaguar. You know the animal jaguar?
Yeah.
Javits.
That's
okay, Rob.
All right.
That's
it's okay. So it's there. But, you know, I've just realized during the break that I was really a slack talk show host here, and that I did not even tell you what you could win if you guessed this riddle. And so I'm going to say it one more time. That is, here's the riddle. Which presidential candidate is missing based on Proverbs 29:18? And that candidate, the way Robbie thinks, would be what kind of doctor? And if you can guess that, you need to call us, and I'm shocked that nobody's called yet, but I didn't give out the number, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm challenging you out there today. Can you riddle this riddle? Which presidential candidate is missing based on Proverbs 29:18, and that candidate would be what kind of doctor? And if they can guess that, Keith, tell them what they'll win.
Well, Robbie, today's prize is a book from the King of Pursuits Prize Vault, as well as some goodies from Christian Farmers Outreach.
And I'm talking back scratchers from the Christian Farmer. I mean, they have beads on them that will help you share the gospel. We've got goodies. If you can riddle this riddle, you've got to call us. And I'll be really disappointed if somebody doesn't get it. Come on now. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and win. 866-34-TRUTH. So, getting back to charity and our story, when I was listening to what we talked about earlier, that the idea that your sister had this vision/dream, can you kind of take us back into that a minute?
I mean, sure. She said that an angel.
Was this in a conversation on the phone before she passed away?
Oh, no, my other sister. So I have three sisters total. My sister, Sarah, the day that Joy died, had a dream of an angel coming into Joy's room and saying, come with me. I want to show you stuff. I have things I want to show you, and taking her kind of back through her life at the beginning of her missions work and showing her how her life had impacted the kingdom. And I mean, isn't that what we all want? Everybody wants to see how their life has had an impact for the kingdom. And the angel took her and they went back through starting at the beginning of her life. And by the end of the story, the angel has brought her all the way up to the present time, and they returned to where they had left from, which was her hospital room, which you don't really know at the beginning intentionally, because it's a story and I wanted it to be a story that draws you in from the beginning. So for the most part, you don't know, unless you knew her or know us, that she died at the end. So, and I wrote it that way on purpose because I wanted it to grab you, the story, not just the fact that she had died. Because my dad said, if you're going to do something with your life based on the fact that you knew Joy, don't do it because she died. Do it because he died, the Lord, because Jesus died, because that's the way that she lived. She lived like every day was a day to advance his kingdom.
And so in the body of this book,
yeah,
is her journals.
Yes. Yes. I read through all of her journals. There were so many. It was a humongous stack. And I started at the beginning and I read all the way through.
And my wife asked a wonderful question. She should be the talk show host. she said during the break, she said, wasn't that hard?
Yeah. Well, at first it was sweet. It was like talking to her. But hearing her inner struggle that she wouldn't have shared with any of us. She was careful, especially with mom and dad, not to worry them by telling them some of the times that she wasn't sure what she was going to do next or where the money was going to come from or when she was afraid and she didn't know. She was careful to kind of shelter us a little bit from that. So getting to hear her heart after she died, I felt like I knew her differently than I had known her while she was alive. So it was really sweet. You know, as I got closer to the end, it got harder because I knew, counting the stack, how many journals I had left before I got to the one that she had just started. I mean, there was probably maybe two or three entries only in the one that she bought to take with her to Malaysia before she died. So getting closer and closer to the end, there was this dread, but mostly it was sweet. It was like getting to know her.
Wow. And Karen, as you were, I'm thinking that as you were writing the musical on Princess Diana, I imagine you became much more intimate with her as well.
Yes, absolutely. And it seems like there's similarities between, you know, Charity's sister and Diana, because Diana finally knew what she was going to do, and she was going to help in the world. She was going to help, you know, all the downtrodden, and then she dies. Well, it seems like that was sort of similar to Charity's sister, you know. She knew what she wanted to do, and she did it for as long as she could do it. And then, unfortunately, she died.
And one thing that's really cool about my sister is that since she has died, it's been amazing to see how many people, including my own kids, that have taken up the call to missions because it was an inspiring story. And that's been just a sweet, beautiful thing from the Lord, that nothing has been wasted. Our great sadness, even that, he didn't waste. And he expands his territory every time I get to speak about her, which is so overwhelming to have a dream come true in your life on the heels of the most horrible thing that you've ever lived through. And he's very faithful in expanding his kingdom. And we don't have to understand why he does what he does. And that's a beautiful thing that he's taught me, is teaching me, is that I don't understand his ways, but I can trust him. I can trust him to advance his kingdom. And that's how Joy lived, and that's how I live now.
Well, the other thing that's fascinating about your story is you have a daughter.
Yeah.
Who, when she was 8 years old, tell a little of that story, because this will pull on your heart.
Right. So she was 8 when Joy died, and she said to us very shortly after that, so I want to be a missionary like Aunt Joy. And we said, you're 8. So you're going to have to wait a minute. And she said, well, how long? And we said, how about 13? How about when you're 13, if you still feel like the Lord wants you to go on missions trips, we'll talk about it. So the day she turned 13, my husband said it must have been midnight. He was up doing work on the computer and she comes downstairs. It was like her 13th birthday. So 12:03 on her birthday. And she's like, I'm 13. Can I be a missionary now? Wow. Yeah. And so she went that summer on her first trip. Our church does quite a bit of missions work. A lot of it inspired and coming about after Joy died and the impact that that had on our church body. And so now we go to the Dominican Republic and to Kazakhstan and to Bangladesh and places like that every year. And so she went to the Dominican Republic that year, and she's been to Kazakhstan and she's been to Bangladesh. Now that we partner with the people in Bangladesh that Joy was supposed to go and work for 2 years with. They came to America and met us, and he spoke at her funeral, and the cool connections that the Lord has made. So Faith has been there and done work, and this summer she's going back to Kazakhstan. We've done long-term work there with our church, and my son, who's 15, is going on his first trip this summer. And when we asked him, he's like, well, Aunt Joy was a missionary, I should be a missionary too. And it's just kind of an impact. My nephew Andrew is going as well this summer, so, and it's his first trip. It's just neat. She would be beside herself excited that they're going now. Yeah.
That's so awesome. Well, as I was listening to that, Karen, I couldn't help but think that, you know, Princess Di's sons, you know, have kind of taken on their, and I had my wife, I put the mic in front of her that she would help me because I don't know their wives' names, but she does. I guarantee it. Tammy, what are they?
Kate and Megan.
Meghan Markle.
So undoubtedly, they've picked up the mantle, right?
Absolutely. They're a lot like their mother. I think she was a wonderful mother, and she gave them their compassion. I mean, she took them with her to the AIDS hospital. She took them with her. You know, her anywhere she went, you know, to see homeless people.
So there you got a chance to hear my wife on the mic. She doesn't do that very often. But that's in order to entice you to call in, because I'm shocked that no one has riddled this riddle. 866-34. We only have one segment left, folks. We need to give away these prizes. 866-348-7884. Which presidential candidate is missing based on Proverbs 29:18? You can do this. Go look up the proverb.
Whether it is Amy Klobuchar, Cory Booker, or Joe Biden, Michael Bennett, Julian Castro, Pete Buttigieg, Bill de Blasio, Tim Ryan, why don't you run for president? And don't forget Tulsi Gabbard, John Hickenlooper, John Delaney, Beto O'Rourke, Eric Swalwell, Bernie Sanders, or Elizabeth Warren. Why don't you run for president? And then there's Steve Bullock, Mary Ann Williamson, and Andrew Yang, Wayne Messam, Jay Ensley, Kirsten Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, Mike Gravel, and Self Moulton. So far there are 3 governors, 9 U.S. senators, and 4 mayors, and 5 women running, 6 congressmen, and 1 entrepreneur, and 1 best-selling self-help author. Why don't you run for president? Run for president. It doesn't matter if we've never heard. Why don't you run for president? Run for president. You'll have your 15 minutes of fame in this.
Why don't
game.
You run for president? Run for president.
You've got to be crazy. Got to be crazy to run for president.
Yes, you've got to be crazy. I love the boing in there, by the way, Karen. I mean, that is a nice touch with the boing in there.
Thank you.
It's great.
To tell you, Robbie, I'm sorry. I wanted to say how hard it was to pronounce all of their names. There are some strange names in there.
I feel your pain.
Oh my goodness.
I am more than excited because Ken here in North Carolina actually has riddled my riddle. So Ken, which presidential candidate is missing based on the Proverbs 29:18 candidate that would be what kind of doctor, Ken?
A happy doctor that keeps along. And as Charity said about her sister Joy in the vision, it says, if there's no vision, we perish. And I don't think any of these candidates have vision. They just have a program. And I'd like to say hey to Charity. I was very surprised. She sang, her and her husband lead the praise thing. I hear her every Sunday.
Oh, hi.
And her whole family.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you called in. And you're right about the vision. And I was thinking it would be an optometrist that needs to run because they would be a person of vision.
Yeah, wow. Well, I think it's, I kind of read your mind that it wasn't a, that it was an unnamed person.
Aha.
I think the only one we have as president right now is got the vision for the country.
Well, thank you, Ken.
Anyway.
I appreciate your call very, very, very much. And you have won the back scratch, the Farmer's Outreach back scratcher, which is really, of all the back scratchers I've ever seen.
Oh, man, I really need
your
that
back
right
will
now.
Never long for another scratch as long as you
I got gout in my right arm.
Oh, well, you'll have to use your left one in order to do it.
Well, I know, but that'll help.
All right. Thank you, Ken. God bless.
But it don't rush.
All right. So, you know, I ask a charity a question in the break that ended up with us all in tears. I just simply said, what was it that when you heard you were going to come on the show, you wanted to make sure that God got said? And she started, and wow, before we knew, we were all crying. So I think this is worth listening to, Charity, if you wouldn't mind sharing again, you know, kind of what you just said to us.
Oh, good. I always wanted to cry on the radio. So what I said to my husband when I finished writing and we knew that the publishing process was starting, and I loved her. She was my roommate for her whole life. I mean, she was 4 years younger than me, but we were always roommates, and she was my friend, and I wanted to tell her story well, but more than that, I wanted to tell his story well. And I felt like she was just a regular girl. She was shy and she was quiet and she was a tiny little slip of a nothing. My daddy would say if she stood underneath the clothesline sideways, she wouldn't get wet in a rainstorm because she was just so tiny. And that a little girl from absolutely nowhere could do one step and then one more step and then one more step that the Lord asked her to do. And then her life would have eternal impact. I wanted everybody who read this story to think, my life can have eternal impact. If I'm willing to say yes to the Lord, my life can make a difference. And the cool thing is, in writing it, that became a real thing in my own heart, that I'm just a regular girl too. I'm nobody. I do toilets every week, you know, and laundry. I'm just a regular girl. But if I can say yes to the Lord, then my life can have impact for the kingdom. And isn't that what our lives are really supposed to be about, is to impact the kingdom? Aren't we really supposed to be telling his story? And if we're not, then what are we doing? If we're not saying yes to him, then what are we doing? And Joy said yes to him. And she said it when she was afraid. And she said it when she didn't know what it was going to look like next. And she said it in her death. And he's so good to speak to us in everything in our lives. And that, so I hope that this book tells that story.
Wow. Karen, thank you so much for saying yes to the Lord in so many ways that you have. It's been wonderful to have you on today.
Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you. Go to kingdompursuits.com to find out more about her and learn your new anniversary song. And again, the book is called His Life for Mine, which is also linked there at kingdompursuits.com. Charity Martin is the author. You don't want to miss that. And then review it on Amazon so other people can see what an ordinary person can do for God. Again, His Life for Mine at kingdompursuits.com. Thank you for listening. How much fun. I told you it was a special show, and I was right.
This is the Truth Network.